Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to New Mathcast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Spiritual Babylonian Captivity of the Postmodern Church and Its Cure. This morning's show is about the current state of the postmodern church and what is going on within the visible, and let me use the term institution, visible institution of the church. There is, of course, the facade of spirituality that is going on presently. And when I read about the new spirituality, which is not so new, in fact, it is very ancient. But when I read about the current spirituality and the current practices that are a part of this new spirituality, I go back to the scripture to find out, of course, what thus saith the Lord. And it is from scriptures that one has divine viewpoint. That is the viewpoint of God. In the West, there has been this tradition of seeking to create a a synthesis, as it were, of current information with regard to psychology, with regard to spirituality, etc., with alongside divine revelation, and not really alongside divine revelation, but packaged with divine revelation, as if the current information that has been gleaned or gathered in from extra-biblical sources takes on significance that is equal to, and in many cases, more than divine revelation. And so we have this ebb and flow of this new spiritual insight that comes in, and individuals are excited to receive it, and then it stays for a short period of time, and then it goes away as new insight, or a supposed new insight, emerges to take its place. Well, divine revelation presents for us a platform, as it were, and that creates stability in our hearts. But one has to know the message of the biblical documents. So to know that message requires intense work. And it requires a great commitment on the parts of believing ones to understand divine revelation as given to us from Genesis to the Apocalypse, that is, the Book of Revelation. The 66 documents that we we call the Word of God, is what God has provided, or what God has provided for us. They are unassailable, or they have been assailed, particularly in the 19th century. In the 19th century, there was a great attack on the Word of God by so-called liberal scholars. The Word of God has more than answered their challenges, and particularly in the areas of textual criticism and in our theology. So textual criticism is a very painstaking science. It is a very important science for biblical study. The Oriental Institute and others, schools of this kind, have greatly helped us in our understanding of the Word of God. Also, the growth of archaeology challenged and answered the criticism. Gating criticism of the Word that happened in the 19th century. And in 1945, with the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that was the final straw in the straw man of liberal scholarship. That was it. But unfortunately, much of the scholarship is hidden from the public, not taught to the public. It is believed that the church must be kept up, must be fed spiritual baby food. And that is quite unfortunate, because the scripture teaches that we need to grow in grace. We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scripture speaks of nepioi, or those at the nipple. And Paul talks about these persons. And it refers to spiritual immaturity. And they are the born ones, or the raised in Christ. And it is not a very flattering picture. These individuals are not growing. John speaks of babes, speaks of young men, and he speaks of the fathers. He talks about these different levels of spiritual maturity. The writer to the Hebrews states that strong meat, that is strong doctrine, for those who are spiritually mature. And a very important thing that happened, a very significant thing that happened, and the writer in that particular community, the writer to the Hebrews states that at a time when they should be understanding strong doctrine, they had to be taught again. And so there is this regression. There's an old, the first Western novel was written by a believer, John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress. Later on, gets Lewis would have or called it Pilgrim's Regress. And so even Paul talked about the churches at Galatia and their spiritual immaturity. And how they had so soon left the teachings of Christ. So when I speak about the spiritual Babylonian captivity of the postmodern church, I'm talking about this involvement in the flesh and this blindness, this spiritual blindness to this involvement with the sarx or the flesh. There is this self-flattering behavior going on as to what it means to be a believer. And it is interesting to watch this phenomenon. The scripture tells us that we are to be occupied with the person of Christ. We are to have that focus ongoing in Him and what it means to grow in Christ, which means when we are focused on Christ and who He is and on His finished work on our behalf, then it means that we are growing in likeness to Him. We are being conformed to the likeness of Christ. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis has a chapter entitled in which he talks about the obstinate tin soldiers. And he says that these tin soldiers who bristle and who rebel at being turned into flesh. They're reluctant, they're rebellious. It's a very poignant, very significant chapter. It has a wonderful picture to understand there. And I say often that when I teach about the flesh, I use the picture of Dorian Gray, because there is a self-flattery in the life of Dorian Gray. He was handsome, he was winsome, but he was inwardly loathsome. But this was hidden from the outside world, who would never have suspected the darkness, the debauchery, and the enslavement to darkness that was within the life of Dorian Gray. Now, a few months ago, you know, I heard about a group of persons. These are religious women who were involved in this movement, movie, 50 Shades of Grey. And they wanted to view this movie because, well, their reasoning was to spice up their own marriages. Well, it takes me back to the Samson cycle of stories and persons who are entranced, persons who are engaged or led by what they see, Aria. And later on, I'm told that there was a church marquee which had the title 50 Shades of Grace. There is this this playfulness with the world, with the cosmos, and its viewpoint, and its philosophy. This is the Babylonian captivity of the postmodern church. This is the Babylonian captivity. The Northern Kingdom was removed from the presence of God because of their sin. In 2 Kings 17, verse 9, we have these words. the Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. From the watchtower to fortify a city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles, phallic poles, on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways, observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants the prophets." But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers who did not trust the Lord their God. Psalm 107. They rejected his decrees and the covenant that he had made with their fathers and the warning he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, "Do not do as they do." And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts and practiced and worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination, sorcery, and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Now, the northern kingdom did not go into Babylon captivity. The northern kingdom, of which I'm reading up here, were decimated by the Assyrians. The northern kingdom disappeared 721 to 722 BC because of them. Now, as we in 2 Chronicles, Chapter 36, 2 Chronicles 36, 15 reads, "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again," that is, to the people of Judah, "because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words by disobedience, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the king and his officials. And they set fire to God's temple, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, they burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time of its desolation. It rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells us that the history of Israel was given to us in 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul wrote, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples." This is verse 11. Or the word example is tupoi. They are types for us. And they are written for our admonition, that is, to put into mind. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world or the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul also states that one should examine himself to see if he is in the faith. But what I find are assumptions, persons assuming certain things about the faith, and I see very little self-examination. And so Paul says that the life of the individual who claims Christ must show Christ in it. There is to be that self-examination with regard to the Lord's Supper. Paul says that the individual must examine himself. Paul consistently spoke about self-examination, faith, and what that means. It is, and Peter writes something very interesting in 1 Peter 5, verse 13, 1 Peter 5:13, the church that is at Babylon elected together with you to live with you, so that mark my son. Greet you one another with a kiss of charity, peace be with you, all that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, church that is at Babylon. As he's speaking about physical Babylon, he's talking about Rome and what it is like spiritually. Peter understood the Old Testament. Peter understood the Babylonian captivity. Peter understood where he ministered and what was going on during. So, once again, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes in verse 6, "Now these things were our examples." He uses the word tupoi again, "to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolatry." Or literally, stop becoming idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, or let us cease practicing fornication, as some riches. Let us practicing fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. So at Corinth, part of the there was secret prostitution in relation to the worship of Aphrodite. Please keep in mind that the Northern Kingdom worship of Baal, and there was sacred prostitution associated with the worship of Baal. Both the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom were involved in the sex cult. There is a consistent history in the Word of God about spiritual adultery, physical adultery, spiritual fornication, and physical fornication. Notice the linchpin of all this has to do with sexuality. See this going on today, and we turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We read these words, Galatians 5, verse 19. The works of the flesh are clearly seen or manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That word uncleanness means filth. Lasciviousness, which means ready for all pleasure. Verse 20. Idololatria in the Greek. Idololatria. We translate it, of course, as idolatry is the worship of false gods. Witchcraft. And it is interesting that the Greek word is pharmakia. Pharmakia, in which we get our word pharmacy, and this word pharmakia has to do with sorcerer who uses drugs to control or to manipulate consciousness. We have idolatry, witchcraft, or pharmakia. We have hatred or hostility, active hostility, and passive hostility. You say active and passive aggression. Variance or contention. We have emulation. And that means that word is a very destructive word, as are all deaths in this war. We have wrath, thumoi. And here the word wrath means an attitude of pain. The word thumos is a tear. And it's a Greek word for outbursts of anger. So here we have an attitude of anger. Very interesting. I'm sorry, the word here is thumoi, which is outbursts of anger. The other word is orge, which means an attitude. So thumoi. We have strife. Or self will, behavior, seditions, heresies, issues. We have envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, that I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The scriptures surely teach us that in order to have spiritual freedom, we must be occupied with the person of Christ. We must go before the one who is our healer. He is our shepherd. He knows what our needs are. He knows how to cure us. We must go before him for strong one night confession of what is going on with our flesh so that he might release us from its seductive power. In order to make an end to the spiritual Babylonian captivity of the church, we must come to God in repentance and for inner spiritual. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.